You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, I can say one thing about Mr. Leland. He can say more in shorter time than any preacher I've ever heard. He does a great job, and we're so blessed to get to be a part of the ministry with him. Here's an old song you might recognize. Up in glory, whose dear form we often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? Now will the circle be unbroken, by and by, Lord, by and by. One, their lives were ended. One by one, they left this earth. Now with Jesus up in glory, will you join their holy birth? Will the circle be unbroken by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Play one, Miss Jolene. The question to the living, are we ready to meet the King? Have we trusted in the Savior? Can we join with those who sing? And will the circle be unbroken by by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Here we go. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. It's in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'll tell you one thing. If we don't do anything else right, we got the music right. That's great. That's good. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible and would like to do that, we got some extra ones. If you lift your hand, we'll get you one where you can follow along with us. Anybody need a Bible? Let me say this. If you do not have a Bible with you, I don't mean here at the church, but if you're at Clover House and you don't have a Bible with you, or if you don't have a Bible at all, just keep that one. That'll be the rec room's gift to you. We want you to have a Bible. And you need to do that. Anytime you need to go hear somebody speak, you need to check them out. Don't just believe it because they got up and read it. They might have read it out of the wrong Bible. We got a lot of them. So, anyhow, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. We've got a saying in West Texas that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And we've been trying to fix God's business for years. Back in Romans 1, they were trying to do it. They're still doing it today. Another saying we have is don't reinvent the wheel. Whoever invented the wheel, it's worked pretty good, hasn't it? Yeah. As far as I know, we've had it as long. I know that they had the wheel when Joseph went and got sent for his daddy, sent for Jacob in Egypt to bring him to Egypt, because they sent carts, they sent wagons to go. So they had the wheel then. It's been around for thousands of years. Nobody's ever improved on it. It's still round. And so we used to say that a lot in the sales field. But we keep trying to improve on what God's done. And we're going to start reading with verse 18. Here it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, it doesn't have one word to say about suppressing the truth. It's talking about who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You can stand here with the Bible. You can hold it and still disobey it. Just because somebody carries a Bible around. Remember, there's a lot of Judases. They were with Jesus. They still are today. Bunch of false prophets. This Bible is filled with talking about the false prophets. People trying to make a living off of religion. And we got a bunch of people doing that. And so he said, "They hold truth and unrighteousness because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Notice this. God's not leaving anybody out there ignorant. He said, God showed it to us. He said, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." Godhead's the word for the Trinity. So that they are without excuse. No person goes through this life and said, well, at the end of it, say, "Well, Lord, I just didn't know. I did everything I knew to be right." And somebody, I was in a class this week, and we were talking about unbelief, and one lady in the class said, "Well, she said, well, you know, I believe in a higher power, but I don't know that I believe in Jesus, and I don't think it's fair that I would be condemned." The Bible said, Jesus said, "He that believeth not is condemned already." You don't have to wait and guess about it. You're condemned right now. And she said, "I don't think that's right." And I said, "Then believe." Do you know how you stop unbelief? Believe. Hard, isn't it? Really takes a GED to get that, doesn't it? All you got to do is turn to God. So he said, they're without excuse. No excuse. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Notice, when they knew God. See, they know. We know, don't we? That's why we duck and dodge and hide. But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we're living in a world full of them today. They changed the glory of the corruptible, uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God, not exchanged, who changed the truth of God. Just changed it. Just, I don't like it. I'll put another word in there. I'll do something else with it. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was made. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, if you followed closely, you noticed that three times it said God gave up. Verse 24 said God gave them up to uncleanness. Verse 25 said God gave up man to vile affections and to punishing themselves. And verse 28, God gives up man to reprobate mind and all kinds of evil. Now, and I've spoken before, I think, here on when God gives up. But I'm never, we know God gives up. We just read it. What I want to talk to you about is why does he give up? Why would God say that's it? Notice here, verse 22 and 23. He said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man. They changed. God is a creator. They've given themselves up. Psychology. Years ago, nobody knew much about it. Now it is the number one thing. And psychology always elevates man and it puts God down. Psychology talks about self-esteem. And I'm going to tell you, out of this group or any other group, the one thing that people do not need is more self-esteem. We're loaded with it. When I first started going into prison, they said, now you have to be careful because prisoners have low self-esteem. Yeah, right. They finally did a survey about 15 years ago in Dallas of all people and of all occupations, and they found out that the highest self-esteem was in inmates. They got a higher self-esteem. And within the prisoners, the highest self-esteem were gangbangers and spouse abusers. They had the highest self-esteem. They're always going to correct people. They know all the answers. You got to love yourself. Oh, yeah, right. That's my number one love affairs with me. Hey. And you're the same way. If you want to just check that out, take two kids and put them in the same room with one toy. See how they love and share. Hey, here, evolution took the place of creation. Do you realize that in the United States of America, who's supposed to be and was started by some God-fearing people, and I didn't say all of them were Christians, but they were God-fearing people, that was started, that and the first Bible ever printed in the United States of America was printed to hand out in the public schools. And do you know what today they teach in every school, in the public schools, that man evolves and was not created. And that's the biggest lie in the world. And we've got people with master's degrees, bachelor's degrees, doctor's degrees, standing up there spouting that crap. It constant. One of our preacher boys here says it's from goo to the zoo to you. See, if there's no creation, If we just evolve, then there's no creator, is there? And if there's no creator, then there's no judgment. We don't have anybody to be accountable to. The reason that we want evolution, and the reason they change the glory of the uncorruptible God, is because man does not want to have to face God. He does not want to have to admit there is a God. He does not want to have to stand up and be accountable for what he does. So they changed it. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Changed the truth. Just deliberately changed it. We're all familiar with change. You've seen people come in and change your room. You've seen people come in and change the rules. You've seen people change this and that. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They just flipped the whole thing. We're living in a culture that is just flip-flopped. Most of the stuff that your mom and daddy and your great-grandmom and daddy were raised under that was just normal. Everybody believed it because it was true. And now we got 5% of the population comes along with a bunch of ideas that is as messed up as Hogan's goat, and now we got to give in to them. And that's the type of thing that we're living in, because nobody ever said anything. Do you realize that there's over 200 English translations of this book? Over 200 of them. Because somebody read the first one and wanted to change something. And then the next one and wanted to change something. I don't like that. They've got a new Queen James Bible out. Guess what that's promoting? This is honest truth. Came out 2 months ago. Queen James promoting lesbianism. Yeah. About 3 years ago, they had one to come out that changed all the homosexual references. Everybody's got their own Bible. Now, you better get the one they're going to tell you the truth, because we're going to have to face the truth, and we can deny it as long as we want to, but one day, the Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Judgment. We're going to stand before God. We've got a bunch of people that just reverse things. They asked Jesus one time, what is the great commandment? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, love thy neighbors thyself. You know what we've done? We've changed them. We put the neighbor above God. That's a social gospel. Do you realize that's what religion is? Some of my classes question me about the fact that I say I'm anti-religion. And I have somebody explain it. I want you to turn with me to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 1. It's right after the book of Hebrews. But the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27 says this. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God. That's the best you can get. Here's what it is. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And that is wonderful, but that will not get you into heaven. That's all religion is. It's living a good life, good morals, and helping folks. And that's not how people get to heaven. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You don't read any of that in James 1 when it talks about religion. Every time the word is used in the Bible, it's used in a bad sense. It's used in a wrong sense. That's Christianity is what we need to be about. that Christ died for us. We're out here. We need to help. And I'm all for helping people. People have been around me and in the rec room, and I mentioned earlier what we do here, what that box, that purple box is for. But let me tell you something. If we could give you the finest car in town, put $10,000 in a bank account for you, buy you a whole wardrobe and new clothes, and not tell you how to get to heaven, we're your biggest enemy. When we started the rec room 10 years ago this past March, and we were talking about the number one thing, that if a person had been to prison and missed getting saved in prison, we wanted to be here so he could get saved here. Our number one goal was to get people to heaven. It's still the number one goal. Now, with that, number two, we want to love our neighbor. But that's two. It's not one. We want to help you. We want to help you if you need a job. We want to help you if you need a ride. We want to help you if you need some help. We want to do those things. We're for those things. But the first thing we want to do and the first thing we want to be sure of is that you know Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you leave here tonight and get hit by an 18-wheeler, we'll see you in heaven. That's what we want to do. And I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to apologize for that. That's the number one thing. And that's what needs to be the number one thing for every Christian in here. Sometime we sit back and think, holy, 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 I'm really holy. Yeah. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use. What we're having in America is not new. It's just being flaunted. The Supreme Court this year is going to vote on what constitutes a marriage. And let me tell you, I don't care how they vote. I can tell you what constitutes a marriage. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 19. The Pharisees came to Jesus, tempting him, trying to catch him, tricking like he did very often, so many times. And they come to him about divorce. Their question was in chapter 19, verse 3, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Listen to Jesus' answer, and you're going to learn some extra things about this. You're going to learn more about marriage than you are divorce in this. But he said, have you not read? Now, they should have read because they were the people with doctor's degrees in the Jewish religion, which was the right religion. And he said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now notice when he made them that. I've had teachers that go back to Genesis and say there's 100,000 years between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. They call that the gap theory. Jesus said that he made man and woman at the beginning. See, that's the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the beginning. He made them, and he made them male and female. He didn't make an Adam and Steve. Male and female. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And that's not talking about divorce. God created man and woman with different plumbing. What God joined together, let no man put asunder. Nothing else works. He said, well, I was born to homosexual. No, you wasn't. You acquired that. See, and I wished it was genetic. Because after one generation, we'd be through with it. I can't reproduce. What we're doing is changing God's program. And every place we're changing His book, we're changing His program, we're changing His creation, we're changing everything about it because we want things our way, and this whole world is getting ready real quick for that judgment. I am telling you. He said, God hasn't changed. We feel like because we live in 2013 that And we know something about the internet and the World Wide Web that we're ahead of the game. Let me tell you something. If it was wrong 50 years ago, it's wrong tonight. God hadn't changed in this deal. In fact, He said, I changed not. His principles. One sin is not right today that used to be wrong. Think about that. Jesus told a woman caught in adultery. And I'm going to say this to the drunk, you can be saved. To the drug addict, you can be saved. Or if you're saved, you can get clean. For the gay person, you can be saved. God loved them as much as anybody else. They're part of the world. But the actions, God doesn't like. And He told the woman that was caught in adultery, He said, go and sin no more. Now, He didn't say go and taper off or go and get treatment. Go and sin no more. You can change. People can change. Don't tell me. I've been there and changed. Hey, let me tell you. I hate to think what my grandkids are going to be raised in. I'm glad some of you young people out there tonight, I admire you, but I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I don't have to face what you got to face. You're going to have to be a lot stronger than I ever was. You have more temptations than I ever had. I mean, I was sorry enough with the few I had. I made good use of all of them. But the things that my grandkids face, the thing that my great-grandkids are facing, it's amazing what's going on. I want to show you over in the book of Proverbs. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I did. I marked it. Proverbs 24. Proverbs has just got a lot of good old, what my daddy would call, horse sense. We call it common sense. It's just God sense. 31 chapters of just, you would be ahead of the game if you just, this next month, if you would read one chapter a day in the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters, you can read it in a month. But in chapter 24, verse 21, and I want you to mark this. He said, my son, fear the Lord and the King. That's fear God and the system. They happen to have a king. We got a president. You better fear the government. And don't think if they can give you anything. Remember this. Anything the government can give you, they can take away from you. If they can help you, they can hurt you. He said, fear God, the Lord and the King. And then notice that. And meddle not with them that are given to change. We're always trying to change it. Always. He said, leave it alone. Don't meddle with it. See, people are still saved just like that Philippian jailer that Paul led to Christ in the 16th chapter of Acts. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I love this because here was a jailer asking an inmate how to be saved. And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's all. That's all. That's all it takes for the evolutionist. That's all it takes for the homosexual. That's all it takes for the drunk. That's all it takes for the drug addict. That's all it takes for the liar and the thief and the cheat that we all are. But we can turn to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, and get a one-way ticket to heaven that will never be refunded. It's good forever, lifetime. What this old book will do for you will teach you how to live and how to die. And you can't beat that. And we're going to all have to do that. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around just for a second or two here, you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been religious. Maybe you've been a church member. Maybe you never have. But the simple truth is that you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you were to die tonight, and if this Bible is true, you would not go to heaven. You'd go to hell. Tonight, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for you. But I want to know, do you care? And you say, "Leland, I'm not a Christian. Pray for me." You're not making any commitment to me. You just, other than pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? "I've never been saved. Pray for me." Is there one? Real quickly, just slip it up, put it right back down. I see your hand, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Would you pray for me? Second thing I'm going to ask you is you say, "Yes, I'm God's child." Maybe you could tell me the day and the hour. You could tell me the experience you had when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But that was a while ago, and you've wandered a long way from that. And you're miserable. I'm going to tell you what. If you're God's child and you're living like the devil, you're miserable. And if you're not miserable, then you're not God's child. Because when we get away from God, I've been there. That hurts. It's misery. Drink that booze just to get that feeling of euphoria. I didn't want to face the fact I'm such a loser. And you say, "Leland, pray for me. I've lost my joy. I need the joy of my salvation returned." Would you slip your hand up real quick before we pray? I see your hand, sir. Yours. Yeah, anyone else? Real quick, we're going to pray. Anybody else? I need, yes, sir. See you. Anyone else? Our precious Heavenly Father, You know the hearts of the men and the women in here tonight. I don't. And if I did, it wouldn't make any difference. I couldn't do anything about it, but You can do something about it. You've promised that anybody that would confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that You raised Your Son from the dead would be saved. And You've never backed down on that. You also promised that for those that were Your children, that You would restore the joy of their salvation if they'd confess their sin and come back to You. So, Father, in the next few minutes, we pray that takes place right here at this altar. We ask it in Christ's name. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes still closed? Charles is going to sing a verse. of softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Would you come right now? On the very first verse, don't put it off. Come right now. Somebody will meet you here to tell you how to be saved. You can find that out. Know for sure when you leave here tonight, you're God's child. If you need to come and confess your sins, get back right with Him. Come on, right now. Come on. Come right on. We'll have a lady. She'll be right here. Come on. Someone else. Come on. Come on. In a minute, I'm going to ask Charles to sing one more verse. I want to give you ample opportunity. I don't want to bore you. I don't want to drag this out. But, oh, I don't want to see you leave without Christ tonight. What does God want you to do? That's all I'm asking. That will satisfy everybody. If you do what God wants you to do, I do what God wants me to do, then God will be satisfied and we'll be satisfied. Are you satisfied? He's going to sing one more verse, and if no one comes, we're closing it out. But I want to give you that one more opportunity. Will you do it? Come right now. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for meeting with us. Thank You for the one that came. Father, for those that didn't do what they knew they needed to do, would You give them another opportunity? Father, would You give them another chance? Now go with us through the week. And Father, help people to realize that even after this service is over, that then go to one of Your people and still be saved, still find out how to get their sins forgiven. Thank You again for meeting with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Refreshments are open. Have a great week.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.